Hello, all you wonderful souls.
Welcome to Just a Podcast, your go-to corner for all things spiritual and mindful. I'm Jo Vassa, your friendly host, storyteller, and a proud wearer of many hats. Wife, mother, mother-in-law, grandma, friend, and your ever-curious spiritual director. I am so grateful to have you here with me. Join me as we dive into some delightful musings sprinkled with joy and explore the creativity of mindfulness and the contemplative prayer together. Get cozy and let's embark on this beautiful, grace-filled journey called life. Welcome back. I kind of want to talk a little bit about a class I took this summer at Creighton. It was called The Spirituality of the Synoptic Gospels. And it's really interesting how where I landed in this class, it really made me think about Genesis. And I have a few thoughts about that. If you want to encounter Christ in the Synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, you must first understand that each gospel writer is expressing their narrative to the communities as a pathway of transforming themselves into the image that reflects God. What does that even mean? Well, by looking deeper into this and really taking time to understand what each gospel writer wrote, we can see a different picture than what we've been told. Especially women. I was told at a really young age that Eve came from a rib from Adam and that she was the one that was responsible for them leaving the garden. That's not completely accurate. I kind of became obsessed with this and I picked up this book by John H. Walton called Genesis chapters 2 and 3. In the Human Origins Debate, The Lost World of Adam and Eve. And there it was, on page 77, the explanation of the rib. I'm going to take some time here and read it to you, because I think it's really valuable. The first question to ask is whether the text suggests that Adam thought of Eve as having been built from his rib. The text gives us the answer. He does not. The first words out of his mouth were, "This is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. More than a rib is involved here because she is not only bone of his bone, but also flesh of his flesh. This leads us to ask then about Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. Which the NIV translates. He took one of man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Adam's statement leads us to inquire whether the translation of rib is appropriate for the Hebrew word tsela. The word is used about 40 times in the Hebrew Bible, but it is not an anatomical term in any other passage outside of Genesis 2, with the exception of 2 Samuel 16, verse 13, referring to the other side of a hill. The word is only used in architecturally in the tabernacle and temple passages in Exodus, 1 Kings, and Ezekiel. It can't refer to the planks or beams in these passages, but more often it refers to one side or the other. Typically, when there are two sides, rings along the two sides of the ark, rooms on the two sides of the temple, the north and south side, etc. On the basis of Adam's statement, combined with the data usage, we would have to conclude that God took one of Adam's sides, likely meaning he cut Adam in half, and from one side, he built woman. This just blew me away. I highly suggest you pick up this book by John H. Walton. It has a contribution by N.T. Wright also. I spent some time praying with this in imaginative prayer. I imagine the Spirit of God descending from above, entering the human from the center of the skull, right along the fissure. And as the Spirit unfolds and splits the human from the top of their head, simultaneously, the two sides form into two beings, uniquely their own, but complementary and equally loved by God. They were made for partnership and friendship, and both were made in the image of God, the God of love, who is love and can only love. So what does the Catechism of the Catholic Church say? Well, on page 94, in section 369, men and women have been created, which is to say, willed by God. On the one hand, in perfect equality as human persons, on the other, in their perspective beings as man and woman. Being man or being woman is a reality in which is good and is willed by God. Man and woman possess inalienable dignity, which becomes to them immediately from God, their Creator. Man and woman are both with one and the same dignity in the image of God. In their being man and being woman, they reflect the Creator's wisdom and goodness. The Word of God gives us to understand this through various features in sacred texts. It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. None of the animals can be man's partner. The woman God fashions from man's rib and brings him elicits on the man's part of a cry and wonder and exclamation of love and communion. At last, is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Man discovers woman as another I, sharing in the same humanity. Okay, I'm a little disappointed they didn't really accurately try to translate rib correctly as it is in the book, but I do see how there is equality in the catechism of them, and I do really appreciate in the catechism how it focuses on how God is not a man or a woman. But the question still remains is, why do we perceive God as masculine? We do it constantly. Him, he, father. It's hard for a woman to feel equal in the church when it's persistent. I have so many thoughts here. But my goal here is to keep these podcasts under 10 minutes, so you're just gonna have to wait for my next episode, where I'm gonna talk about the order of chapter 1 of Genesis. So grace and peace to everybody. And remember, God loves all of us. He really does.